this is Barry Phillips. I am your host for Reconnect. Today I come to you after the most recent election. And perhaps I am like some of you in my audience that a little disappointed perhaps in the outcome of some things. I make no secret about the fact that I am a conservative individual, especially in the political arena. There is a political agenda that favors more of a smaller government, more empowering of the individual, a more scriptural viewpoint of social agenda and so forth. And there is a political persuasion that I do not support because they totally reject those ideals. So I'm thinking that the election could have turned out better. That being said, this is not going to be a program about politics, so bear with me for about a minute, maybe a minute and a half here. I'm seeing something that is a bit troubling for me. That is that the physical realm realities give us an understanding of what's going on spiritually. In many cases. In 2016, there was an extremely intense and concerted prayer effort to be sure that one of the candidates running did not get elected because their prescribed agenda and their focus, we knew, would be extremely detrimental to this nation and take us down a path that we just simply did not want to go. Those prayers were answered. Our current president, I believe, this is my opinion, is now presently in office because of prayer. Now, does that make him a righteous man? Does that make him a great man? It means that we prayed for him to be elected and he was elected. Now, I support much of what he has chosen to do. I applaud it. Send your cards and letters, if you like, to remnantofisrael.com, and I'll be glad to read them. Do I think that our president is the Messiah or a Sadiq, a righteous man? I don't know him personally. I know he's not the Messiah. Where his level of righteousness is, I'll leave that up to others to discern. That's not my call. But I believe that the Father can use him. I believe the Father has used him. My concern is with this midterm election that the prayer effort, in many regards, failed to compare with the intensity of the previous one. And that's the attitude, not the politics, but the attitude that I want to address today. I simply ask you, hear me out for the next remaining portion of this program and understand where my heart's at. I'm sensing that there is an apathy, a spiritual ease, a loss of focus, and even a sense of carelessness about things spiritual that is mirrored by the same things in the physical realm. This is not a sudden onset. This is not something that's happened overnight. This has been developing for a while. From what I understand, listenership on many of the stations that are promoting and providing teaching and instruction and insight pertaining to the scripture, especially of a Hebraic focus, they're struggling. Those listenerships are down. Programs are beginning to be less visited, and responses is dramatically dropping. Now, I'm not complaining. I'm very, very thankful for the opportunities that I have been afforded, and I have enjoyed my time with you, and I hope to continue to do so. But there is a sense that we don't really have to put all of that effort in. After all, we've been in control governmentally And that's just a sign that the Father's with us and things are going to be better now. Wake up. Get out of your slumbering mindset. If we do not fight for something, if we do not stay vigilant and focused on the things of Yah, if we are not concerted and empowering in our prayers, we are going to get defeated, we're going to be run over, and that which we think we have gained, we're going to lose it. We cannot afford to slide the gear shift into neutral and go into a coast mode. We are not anywhere close to gaining what it is that the Father has for us. And that's not to say that the kingdom's going to be built upon the governments of this earth. By no means. We are citizens of a kingdom that is coming, and we cannot afford to sell ourselves out to any political group, agenda, or persuasion. That said, if we lose our intensity, though, about asking the Father to give us righteous rulers, those putting those in office that will afford us an opportunity to do the work of the kingdom, we're going to find ourselves oppressed and silenced. And the choice is ours. We get what we pray for. It's not just that we get what we deserve. Thankfully, that's not always the case. But folks, we get what we pray for. And if we're not praying, we have no right to complain about the result. So if listenership on the radio is down, maybe that means that everyone's going over either to Facebook Live or to YouTube or some other video formatting. Well, if it's just technology that is making a shift, maybe we're okay. But what happens when we're bored with seeing? Like maybe we have become bored with hearing. Let me tell you a story. Years and years ago, I was involved in youth camps in our previous denomination. And in one year, as I was working the senior camp, this would have been, say, 15 years old up to 18, 19 years of age. This group of kids, we had about 300 in the camp in that age group. And we decided that we would bring in a man with a hot air balloon. I drove my car down onto the ball field. He tied off a heavy rope to the rear axle of my vehicle. He heated up this balloon. And six at a time, we could get kids into the basket. He would take them up about 150 feet or so into the air, and they would get this wonderful panoramic view of the Roanoke Valley here in Virginia. Lovely sight. Wonderful thing. Then it would come down, and we would hold the basket on the ground, and one would get out, and the other one would get in. We had to transfer one student in and out at a time, or one camper in and out at a time. And after the long, long line had been finished, everybody was excited and talking about going up in the hot air balloon. It was such a great success that the following year in our planning sessions, we decided that we would do that hot air balloon thing again. Less than half participated the next year. And we were left scratching our heads, but it was such a great success last year. Why aren't they more enthused and involved this year? And it dawned on us. Been there, done that. What else you got? There has to be a continual increase of something titillating, exciting, invigorating, captivating, intriguing, mystifying. Once you've seen it, once you've tasted it, once you've heard it, once you've experienced it, what else you got? This what else you got mindset has invaded the Hebraic roots community at places to where that which is consistent and solid, dependable, bedrock truth no longer does anything for us. And so we are looking for the new, for the edgy, for the something more, for the invigorating that we haven't seen, heard, or tasted yet. What I'm saying is that ours is not a technology issue, but it's a heart issue. We are seeing, but we're still blind. We are hearing, but we are yet deaf. We have the capacity to feel and to experience, but we're still you are spiritual sociopaths. We've lost our ability to sense and to feel. Now, we may have a song that we worship to and dance to, and we get a thrill and a joyous expression. Maybe tears fall down our faces. Maybe there's that warm fuzziness that we get at a thought. We can't live for those things. There needs to be a sense of joy about us because we read what we know to be true. Because someone is offering to us a reaffirmation of that which we know to be true. Hear me out. Again, if the Word, the simplistic, consistent, dependable teaching and preaching of the Word does not challenge and change us, then you and I have lost the integrity of our claims, and our walk should be questioned. Now, why on this hard edge? I am saying that the results that we're seeing in our nation is the result of a prayerless, careless, apathetic mindset in the body of those who claim to be different. There is a movement to become more edgy and more acceptable to the mainstreams of our society and our presentations, more at home with where they think that the audience wants to be. And then we coat enough of it to make it palatable to them. The message, the teaching, the instruction that we're giving to them, not realizing that what we're doing, we're watering down the authenticity of what we're declaring. Yeshua did not come to be loved and accepted by the masses. He came to give them the truth. And those that would listen to the truth would be changed. Those that would reject the truth, they would find their own consequences. I'm not saying that we have to be hard-edged. I'm not saying that we need to browbeat anybody. No one's advocating a firebrand, hell-fired style of preaching. But to study the Word. The Word. Not a conspiracy theory. Not an outlandish doctrine. Not an entertainment mindset. But to study the Word should invigorate us. What it often does is call people to roll their eyes upward and sigh, boring. No one is asking you to be entertained by the Word. We're needing to be changed by the Word. So let's go to the Word. What does it say? Romans chapter 11. Verse 8, as it has been written, Yahweh has given them a spirit of deep sleep, eyes not to see and ears not to hear unto this day. David also says, let their table become a snare and for a trap and for a stumbling block and a recompense to them. Let their eyes be darkened not to see and bow down their back always. Who are they addressing? Well, let's go to the source. Isaiah chapter 29. And here the prophet begins to address the city of Jerusalem that had become apathetic. And he said it's going to be surrounded and laid siege to. And he says, verse 10, for Yahweh has poured out on you the spirit of deep sleep and has closed your eyes, the prophets, and has covered your heads, the seers. And the entire vision is to you like the words of a book that is sealed, which men give to one who knows books, saying, read this, please. And he says, I am unable, for it is sealed. And the book is given to one who does not know books, saying, read this, please. And he says, I have not known books. Yahweh says, because this people has drawn near me with its mouth, with its lips they have esteemed me, and has kept their heart far from me. And their fear of me has become a command of men that is taught. I thank the Father that He is awakening us to the return to the legitimacy of the Torah. I am forever thankful that He delivered me from a denominationally based system and has awakened me to the beauty of the Torah again. The Torah is the key that unlocks the prophets. The Torah is the foundation of understanding to the books of wisdom. The Torah is the central theme in the history books of the Tanakh. The Torah is the very character and personality of our Messiah who is revealed to us in the Messianic or apostolic writings. Thank you, Father, for the Torah. But if it becomes a list of commands that men teach us, whereby we judge one another and ridicule each other and slander one another for our failures to observe it according to our preferences, then we have used our mouths to profess Yah and His Mashiach, but we've hidden our heart from Him. Why are there no prophets calling us to repentance? We wouldn't listen to them. And why are there no seers offering to us a vision of what it is that Yah is wanting to show to us? Because we would shut our eyes to their visions and say, no, thank you. Now, is this across the board? Is this for everybody? No. There's some folks that are making solid progress. There's some folks that are getting it. There's some folks that are walking and power and understanding and getting somewhere. But our society, the things that are going on around us are revealing to us that there is a cause for some alarm. And we need an alarm to go off so that you and I would awaken from our slumbering and from our apathy and become intense again and focused again and by all means become vigilant in prayer again. Once more, we get what we pray for. From the book of Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon, in chapter number 5, there is a scene where the beloved, this lovely Shunammite woman, is lying asleep in her home. And she says in verse 2, I was sleeping, but my heart was awake, the voice of my beloved. He knocks, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is drenched with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I've taken off my robe. Should I put it on? I've washed my feet. Shall I dirty them? My beloved put his hand by the latch, and my feelings were deeply moved for him. I rose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers flowing with myrrh. On the handles of the lock, I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away, had gone. My being went out when he spoke. I sought for him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. Opportunity lost. Opportunity lost. While the maiden laid in the bed wondering, is it worth the effort? It's an inconvenience. It's not you know, I'm relaxed. Do I need to employ energy again? Maybe you're saying, no, Barry, you're wearing me out with all of this stuff. I just want to be blessed. I just want to go to my congregation. I just want to study online. I just want to see some videos. I just want to pray a bit and read. And I'm looking for the next pile of glorious nuggets. Just, you know, ease up, man. It's going to be all right, is it? Yah is looking for a remnant. Those that have given themselves for the purposes of the kingdom. And the remnant is not necessarily entertained and thrilled by what they read, but they're changed by it. There is a difference. We may very well require brokenness before we fully repent and change. Make no mistake about it. What we're about to see in our nation is a war. Maybe not so much violence in the streets, although we are seeing that. I mean, the mobs are already formed. They're bringing their hand weapons with them, and they are rioting, and they are trying to intimidate and force those who dare voice a different opinion into compliance or silence. If they would do this to the political arena, how much more will they do it then to those who seek to proclaim righteousness and purity and the heart and the character of Messiah Yeshua? Make no mistake about it, the spirit of the anti-Mashiach is already well underway in our day. We need to become broken. And circumstances in our society very well may drive us to a place of brokenness and are crying out. Let me share one last thought with you. In the book of Acts, chapter 17. Here, Rav Shaul has found himself in the Greek city of Athens. And he begins to notice the way and the character of the Greek people. Verse 18 of Acts 17 says that some of the Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountering him. And they seem to want to know what it is that he is babbling or proclaiming about this strange mighty one. And they say to him in verse 19, are we able to know what this fresh teaching is of which you speak? For you're bringing some strange matters to our ears. We wish then to know what these mean. Verse 21, for all the Athenians and the strangers living there spent their leisure time in doing nothing but to speak or to hear what is fresh. Another way of saying it is what is new. If we are captivated only by that which is new, that which is edgy, that which is fresh, that which we've never heard before, we're no longer Hebrew or Hebraic minded in our study. We're Greek. We're turning back to a Greek orientation to the study of Scripture. Show me something fresh, something new, something invigorating, something entertaining, something exciting. Give me another nugget. That's Greek. Understanding what we know to be true and hear it rehearsed again and again until it becomes ingrained to us. That's the Hebraic mindset. And that, I believe, is what Yah is calling us to. Pray about this. Talk to the Father about what He would have you to hear and to understand. Until next week, this is Barry with Reconnect. Shalom.